Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Okay, 3, 2, 1. Open your
hearts, loosen your butts.
Loosen your butts. It's couples
time
therapy.
For couples therapy.
It's time for couples therapy.
Yeah. This podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious and coupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text, sex, regrets, or feeling on your new jubu. They gon' talk about it, ah, yeah, you are invited, ah, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
It's couples therapy, couples therapy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Couples Therapy. My name is Andy.
And I'm Naomi.
We're a real-life couple.
A real-life couple of comedians.
And on Couples Therapy,
in quarantine,
we answer a couple of different questions
from a couple of different listeners. And this episode is the part two of the Couples Therapy Yo, Is This Racist? Crossover event.
Killer crossover.
So if you listened last week to Yo, Is This Racist? Andrew and Tawny's baby. Welcome, welcome to Couples Therapy.
Yes, there was a harrowing cliffhanger at the end. I don't know how they edit. I haven't listened to it. I don't know how they edit it, but we literally just stopped, talking about racism. And then we're just like, oh, yeah. Didn't Andy mention that there should be a cliffhanger or something? And then we're just like, and then Andrew was just like, I'll reveal a secret. And then I think I talked about
who shot JR.
Who shot JR from Dallas.
Because Andy loves references for young people.
Which which happened before any of us were born.
I know that.
Literally before, I think maybe I had been conceived. I'm not sure.
Oh my God. Before we get to the wonderful episode, just a touch of housekeeping, honey. A light sweeping, a light dusting. First, if you love Andrew and Tawny and Yo, Is This Racist, go to suboptimalpods.com to get bonus content, episodes of new pods. It's all happening there. They are the best in the game. Now, while we talking podcasts, baby
ooh,
girls and
ooh,
baby boys,
ooh,
and baby not binaries, March 4th, my new podcast that I co-host with Megan Gailey, also friend of this show, called I Love a Lifetime Movie, debuts. Can you imagine? In two days, you guys. So what you need to do is go on your podcast listener.
Podcatcher.
They call them podcatcher.
They call them podcatcher.
I want you to give us 5 stars, even though you haven't listened to it yet. Just assume. I want you to subscribe. We watch Lifetime movies. We recap them beat by beat. They are always insane. And we talk to actors, writers, directors of the films. It is very fun. We get into it.
Naomi,
so,
did you ever think you would host not one, but two podcasts?
To think that we now each have our own podcast outside of Couples Therapy? Absolutely not. Absolutely. I never thought in a million years I'd have one podcast, let alone two.
Hey, if you're plugging yours, Beginnings... That's the one I've been doing for the last 11 years. Just had Ron D. Moore, the creator of Battlestar Galactica, on.
Hello. You heard of it? Basically, we need you to be just like signing up for more content, okay? That's where the fun is.
Ugh.
Content.
Naomi, I don't make content. I make lasting interviews that hit at the heart of the interviewee. I don't make content.
I don't make content. I'm here to be content. Boom. Next.
Put it on a t-shirt. Also, friends, two amazing shows coming up online, of course, obviously. We're terrified of all other people in person. So March 6th, we are doing a fundraiser with Socialist Alternative, which is obviously DSA's rival. Sorry, DSA. Sorry. But basically in Seattle, one of the Seattle City Council members, Shama Sawant, is being recalled by a bunch of right-wing shitheads.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
And so we're raising funds to fight them off.
Yes. We got to fight the power, baby.
And look, so we're hosting an amazing show online.
A cavalcade of stars.
Cavalcade of stars, including John Early, Joakim Boester, Rhea Butcher,
Aparna Nancherla,
and a bunch of other amazing people. Just go to our Instagram or our Twitter, and you will see a post up there that has all the information. It's free to watch. It's a telethon.
Yeah, telethon style. So free to watch. But while you're watching, if you are moved to donate, we would love it.
Yeah, a couple bucks.
A couple bucks, honey. It'll be wonderful.
A couple bucks to fight off Amazon?
We love it.
Also.
Then very next week. The very next Saturday.
The very next Saturday.
Saturday, March 13th at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Andy and I will be coming together. The couples therapy quarantine party
one year in isolation.
Ain't that the truth, honey? March 13th marks 1 year since it all began.
And you know what? The quarantine.
You know what? We are survivors. So we said we're gonna bring together a show where we celebrate surviving all of this.
Yeah.
We have Sashir Zameda and Kenny DeForest, Dwayne Perkins, and a friend, and we will be answering your relationship questions. So now, in order for that to happen, you gotta give us some questions.
Yes. Now, this is a visual show, so what we thought, why don't you send in videos asking these questions? Send in a video no more than 2 minutes.
No more than 2 minutes. Keep it right and tight.
To couplestherapypod@gmail.com.
And we may select you to play on the show and then answer with our guests. So again, no more than 2 minutes, relationship cue to couplestherapypod@gmail.com. If you could do it by March 11th for the March 13th show, that would be great.
Yeah. But you can get tickets at DynastyTypewriter.com, right?
Yes. So really, for everybody who's like, what is happening? This is a swirl of information. Let me tell you one quick time, one more again, okay? Saturday, March 13th, couples therapy 1 year in isolation party. Get tickets at DynastyTypewriter.com. If you want to get a relationship question answered, shoot us a video no more than 2 minutes to couplestherapypod@gmail.com. Whoo, that's it, Andy.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Thank you for bearing with us.
We love it. We love it when you bear with us.
These were all great plugs, though.
They were beautiful plugs. These are all vital, okay? We're talking new pod. We're talking socialist alternative. Yeah. We're talking a year of survival.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking wanting you to be part of the show.
We're talking crossover craziness with our friends Andrew and Tawny from Yo Is This Racist.
Beautiful.
Roll it. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are joining us for... Look, you could come from two different... You are either part of our audience already. We love you. You have come because you heard the cliffhanger from last week's Yo Is This Racist. Who shot JR? Maybe you didn't look it up. Maybe you did not look it up in the meantime. Because the answer from this 1979, 1980, before all of us were born, basically, episode of Dallas... JR, played by Larry Hagman, was shot. Who shot him? Kristen Shepard. That's the answer.
Yay.
We teased it. We teased the cliffhanger on the last week's episode of Yo Is This Racist. Now you're getting the answer.
Maybe you thought we were joking. I don't know. I forgot. I didn't realize we're actually doing this.
Yeah, because for me, the cliffhanger was, what is any of that? Who is JR?
Right.
When did he get shot? Is he a real person? Was he a politician? Mm-hmm. So I learned a lot just by coming to this podcast recording.
Yeah, yeah. See, this is a huge problem. My parents, they would always question, like, Andy, how do you know this reference from before you were born? And there are a couple reasons. Animaniacs and Tiny Toons, that's one of them. Because they would constantly reference things from the 30s to the 80s. The Simpsons, number two, constantly because they were all written, and still mostly, written by 80-year-old white men.
Right.
References from things from the 1930s to the 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what else we teased on you? If you did not listen to Yo Is This Racist, stop this episode right now. Go download last week's Yo Is This Racist. Listen to it, because we said... we're going to reveal secrets on. Mm-hmm. I guess you don't have to. I guess you don't
yeah,
have
you
to
can
hear
us yeah.
tease
well,
to no, say on this episode we're going to reveal secrets. You can just listen mm-hmm. to the secrets. Andrew, do you have a secret you're going to reveal to the world?
Oh, yes. Here's one. This is really a bad one, actually. Quite bad. Legitimately quite bad. I've been pretty lax about picking up after the dogs outside. Because I've been like,
shit,
you know. And here's why, actually. It started out as a rationalization that now is becoming worse and worse, is that the neighbors next door, or not the neighbors, but basically the place next door is like got renovated by like, you know, clearly some like crazy, you know, horrible LA landlord, you know, gentrifying all this stuff. So for a while before it was occupied, it was like my little political statement of like, yeah, these dogs can befoul this lawn. But now actually nice people live in there and I feel bad, but I don't know. I was like, I got to get better at picking up, but
what a secret.
Bad.
That is a real sad. Secret, actually. Yeah, that's definitely something you should keep to yourself.
Yeah,
I know.
That's like a war crime.
Yeah, they have a lot of listeners, Andrew. You really exposed yourself
really
to a lot
not,
of
it really
people
is
who...
not nice, but well, new leaf. New. I feel like saying it out loud is actually my version of holding myself to this
yes.
new leaf.
Yep.
Is this confessional to you?
Yeah.
Are we your priests? Do 10 Hail Wait. Marys? Is that what? Who's Christian on this podcast? Which one?
Tanya was Christian. Zero. She pretended to
no.
be Christian.
What do you do?
My parents pretended we were.
What do you do? 10 Hail
as far
Marys?
As
we went to a Catholic church. I kept going to the Catholic church even when my dad and my grandma bounced to the giant mega church because like socially in our town, it was like the cooler place to be. But I stayed at the Catholic one because they had a better choir. So I've always known where my priorities were aligned.
Mm-hmm. How are those wafers? Mm-hmm.
I never had one because I didn't do catechism yeah, or whatever, so I wasn't yeah. allowed to have one. So
I
just I
will
left.
Say this, Andy, you might actually be, it, this is not a joke, as close as I have to a priest. So that is
what our friendship is?
0% a joke, yeah.
I absolve you of your crimes?
Well,
no, but, well, yeah, relatively speaking, I don't know who else does it more. So, yeah, I guess.
Well, I will say this, like, you guys hang out, and I have no idea, like, what you guys discuss or what happens. So if you are telling Andy things, I don't know mm-hmm. about them. And I'm really the only other person he would tell.
Yeah,
so
I don't betray your trust.
He does. He keeps it in his heart. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
And Naomi and I have our own confessional called Marco Polo. Wow.
Monte Carlo.
Carmarco Parvar. called a Monte Cristo sandwich, and it's where we both speak into the sandwich and then we receive the messages later. So we have like a little we're like a priest mm-hmm. we're like That's two true. Priests we're more like two priests shooting the shit over a cigarette after our priest shift is over. That's more the relationship.
That's what you call it, a shift?
You know when you punch out?
Clock out at the Souls Factory.
Yeah.
If we were a sitcom, then you would have the episode, a lot of the normal episodes would be me and Naomi, Andrew and Tawny, me and Andrew, mm-hmm. Naomi and Tawny. And then mm-hmm. the like fun every two seasons or so would be the mm-hmm. yep. Andy and Tawny, Andrew, Naomi episode.
I actually, I gave Naomi a ride actually back from the last time we had a big mega Yosef's Racist episode.
That's
and
true.
It was really fun. I was
Did
like,
you like it?
Well, because I was like, it's never just the two of us. It's never
I know.
Just the two
yeah,
of us.
That's true. I mean, really I think nice. I did spend a lot of time talking about how uncomfortable I felt and not cool like the other black girls. So you really had to pick me up off the floor in the car.
Naomi, that's how I feel. That's how I feel all the time. And I run this podcast. Anytime a black woman comes on, I'm like, well, I'm a pile of trash. I don't need to be here when we have her.
Okay, no, literally there was like a picture afterwards. And it was like Tawny, Lacey, two other intimidating women. And they took photos. We took pictures. And when I tell you, their fucking skin glowed. They shined like the top of the Chrysler building. Okay? And all knew their perfect angles. And I said, that's how you book. That's how you book. All of them in that room.
And
I
will.
I couldn't handle it.
Look, I will tell you that the angles is because there were so many different heights among us, and that I am not dragging my sister Lazy Mosley, but I will. As for me being the giraffe and for her being our tiny friend, there were too many of us for the frame to hold, so we were contorting our bodies, and that glow that you saw was because we had all just eaten a McDonald's breakfast sandwich that Andrew brought to the party. So that was actually a grease sheen that you were experiencing.
It was gorgeous. It was gorgeous. Oh, put me on a grease sheen diet.
So, Tawny, you and I have to hang out. I feel like we could talk about music.
I feel like that's about music.
Oh, yeah.
Why did I say we needed a caper? Like, we need to knock off a bank or something.
That could be fun, actually. Because I feel like, Andy, you would have the ideas, and Tawny is the distraction. Well, she goes in and, like, gets it.
I would actually rather, I mean, a regular bank, sure, but if we could do like a high crimes investment bank type thing.
Oh, yeah, he would love that.
Yes.
Oh.
If we could like Fight Club, Goldman Sachs or something.
That could be fair.
I thought you guys were going to be like stealing the masters of some indie band that I don't even know.
Stealing the masters to, like, for Talking Heads 77.
Get it back for them or something. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That feels like a you guys kind of heist.
I would break into Motown and like get Diana Ross back all her masters and stuff. Like all those Motown cats that Berry Gordy dicked over. Is that actionable? I don't want Berry Gordy coming after me. He's got so much money.
Ocean's 14. I smell a
Ocean's 14.
I smell a pitch. Hey, Soderbergh, where are you?
In that voice. Soderbergh, where are you? Okay, the fact is Andy loves to pitch a movie every episode, but what we love more than that is to answer our listeners.
Motown's 14. Motown's 11.
Answer our listeners' relationship questions, okay? And where Yo Is This Racist asks, Yo, is this racist? Couples Therapy asks, am I crazy? More or less. It's some version of that.
Okay, my pitch was, yo, is this romance?
And I said, it's yo, is this therapy? Which is like,
oh, I like that.
Thank you, Tom. Mm-hmm.
Two sides of the same coin, though, in a sense. Yeah.
That's your first question. Do we go with the... That's the first question. Yo, is this romance, which has the consonants of yo, is this racist, consonants, or do we go with yo, is this therapy, which is more in line with thematically what the show is? Solve this for us.
I think yo, is this therapy, because it's a more equitable blend of the two names of our shows. Yo, is this romance, I'm not hearing couples therapy in that. I'm not hearing, it's implied, but you guys don't get to shine in the title.
Exactly.
You know?
Our questions aren't always romance. Go ahead, Andrew.
I was just thinking, I think probably the reality is Tawny's correct, but I was just going to pitch some version of like a oops, all therapy or something. You know, just like,
oops, just all like racists.
Oops, all racists, a special edition of Couples Therapy.
Oops, all therapy. Those are definitely the berries. Oops, all racists. Those are the crunches. Like, that's a bowl of just crunch.
I left the white supremacy machine on. Now it's oops, all racists.
Limited edition flavor. Tastes like nails.
Yeah, limited edition flavor. The last two millennia.
Yeah.
Is this how? Feel like this is not how this show normally goes. I feel
that
like Andrew
true.
And I have bulldozed in here with our energy. Yeah. I want you to take the reins back.
Well,
take
I tried to, but you see how Andy interrupts me by yelling about Motown's 14. I try to bring us back. He takes us off. So Motown's. Trust me, this is what happens. Now, Andrew, are you... Listen. People contact us in a myriad of ways, honey. They slide into our DMs. They hit us up at couplestherapypod@gmail.com. But what I love the most, what I want always... are your voicemails, people. I like to hear your voice. I like to hear the struggle. I like to hear the tremble. I like to hear where you're at emotionally. So you can leave us a voicemail at 323-524-7839. Literally one of three phone numbers I've memorized. So you gotta call in.
Now, I try as best as possible to tailor the questions to the guests. Sometimes it happens by accident that they are tailored to the guest. Sometimes, like in this case, I thought about Tawny. I thought about Andrew.
Wow.
I thought about it. It was this racist.
Yeah.
And I picked a number of questions that I thought worked. This, I feel like, is more of an Andrew question.
A T, an Andrew T. Get the T from T.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So.
Hi, Andy and Naomi. My name is PJ, and I'm so excited to be leaving you this message. I have been listening all through Quar. I'm a lurker in group on Wednesdays, and I couldn't find more joy in your podcast, and your advice and your humor has been real lifesaver throughout this time. So I have a question about starting a relationship kind of on the shaky ground that is COVID time. I met somebody during the pandemic whose life has been really affected by the pandemic in terms of his job. His hours have changed a lot. His kind of life has been a little bit more upended than mine has. And as a result of that job change and scheduling, his hours are really weird, and we don't get to spend that much time together. Just a couple of hours here and there during weekdays, and we don't share weekends. And, you know, he's kind of anxious and depressed about this. And I really, really like this guy. It's been a while since I've met somebody so smart and so funny and just such a quality human. But I don't know if I can handle somebody who's going through a depressed time, and, you know, the schedules are challenging, and I just don't know if it's the right time. But I also am so hesitant to kind of leave something so great on the table. Anyway, thanks so much, guys. Sorry this was long.
Okay.
Wow.
Woo.
This was a nice person. They said so many compliments. I'm sorry to be a narcissist, but all I could think is people don't do that on our show. Andrew, they don't say they love us. They don't say thank you for getting me through this quar.
Nope.
They go. They don't say. They just launch into the racism. And I think we need a little. Yeah. We need a primer. I mean,
we have actively not helped people through a bunch of stuff. So there may be that. There may be a simple reality that is kicking in.
It's very nice for you. I'm happy for you. Continue with your show. What a delight.
Well, I mean, our audience is just the best. So I'll just say that.
That's true. They're the best. They're tender. They're all, I say, we're all delicate inside kids. The audience is inside kids. And so that is why we're all open emotionally. Remember, we call our Wednesday Twitch show group. So that should tell
you
everything.
Lovely.
So PJ is seeing this gentleman obviously like once a week, a couple hours at a time, and really likes him, but honey, the pandemic is just a stressor. It's a stressor on us all.
Yes.
And it's funny because you said this initially, you thought it might be an Andrew T question.
Because he has dated in the pandemic.
But then when PJ talked about, I don't know if I can be with someone who's depressed, I said, this is an Andy Beckerman question. Because he is living with me. But anyway, Andrew Tani, what do you think? I mean, have you either, you know, been with somebody when they are like going through a rough time, just in general, right? Pandemic aside, but also I know, Andrew, you have engaged with people in the pandemic.
A little bit. So the one thing I will say that I do not have a good answer for, because it's something I'm doing a really, really bad job of myself, which is I think what happens is like you end up, I don't want to say lowering your standards in terms of the person, but you raise your standards of like what's a deal breaker in because it's so hard to move on. Like the cost of moving on in pandemic is, if you're like even remotely responsible, is much higher, right? Like you can't just meet someone for a drink. You can't just like, you know, do something casually, really. Like there's like many like coping mechanisms that are not on the table anymore.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, yeah, if you're doing it right.
I mean, if you're living your life like, again, you know, but even if you're living your life wrong, you know, you're the rest of the population is not, it's not easy to, you know, rebound or like, you know, like do something, you know, take your mind off things. So like the cost of breaking up is high.
That's a good title for a book.
I was going to say, it sounds like a Billy Ocean song.
Yeah. Like, but break up low, get
no, you had it before.
High. I don't know. My point
the
is...
The GameStop of love.
My point is, though, it's like... It's... Yeah. Like, you're... The caller is feeling something that I think I felt a bunch, which is like, man, bird in the hand, because like... acquiring the bird in the two birds in the bush or whatever is fucking difficult now in a way that it was difficult before, but now it's even more difficult. So like, we're all like considering, like settling is a lot better option. Mm-hmm. Just
settling, you know, is a in better a,
in
option.
A, in a, in a,
wow, that is
in
a, on
in an unhealthy way, right? Like we are getting the email, value, honey. not. Sorry, not like it's a better option, like it's always the right option, but like the value of settling has gone
just
up.
Just for safety.
Like,
yeah, it's very death cab.
So you're like, ooh. But I'm not saying that's healthy or right, but it's just
them. Well, is
the
there
facts.
A deal? Is there something that pre-pandemic would have been a deal breaker that in the pandemic you're like, yeah, I can deal with that?
Well, see, this is where I'm the wrong person to ask, because there's almost no, like, I can deal with that even
really?
In the best of times.
I think of you as a picky gentleman because you don't, as far as I know, you don't have a lot of long-term relationships. And so to me, I think that's because you're very difficult or emotionally closed off.
Yeah. I think those are two sides of the same coin, right? Because once there is something that I latch onto, everything else can be fucking horrible. And I'll fucking, you know, I'll make it work. I'll rationalize. I'll jump through all the mental hoops that, like, will keep me in for the one or two things that are really good, including ignoring a bunch of, you know, red flags, deal breakers, whatever. It's, you know, this is less, now it's become regular therapy. Anyway, the point is, so that was already, that's why I'm the wrong person to ask, because it's like, I don't fucking put up with tons of shit.
Can I say something about the person going through a tough time angle of it all?
Yeah.
I would encourage the caller to remove, I hear judgment of themselves in the caller's voice. I hear them saying, like, they sound like they feel bad that they don't want to be with this person who's having a hard time right now in this pandemic, as so many people are. And I would say maybe remove that from yourself, because look, I've been married 7 years. We've been together for 10, and you want to know how a person that you're going to be with seriously is going to handle a really hard time.
Right.
And no judgment about their mental health or anything, but just if you two don't handle one of the most difficult times probably in your lifetime the same way, not good or bad on either side, but just like if you don't handle it the same way, you're probably not going to be compatible for if your house floods or if you have other disasters in your life as a couple. If you're not handling it in a compatible way, it doesn't mean you have to be identical, but if it's not something you can tolerate, it's probably not a great match. Yeah,
I think so. But what another thing, though, I hear about this, which I think is the tricky thing, because what she's saying is, like, we only see each other a couple hours.
Yeah.
And I think that's hard, because what happens is, like, for instance, if I see you three times a week and one of those times you in a funk, it's okay. But if I only see you once a week and when I see you are complaining, stressing, anxious, then that's not really what I want to get out of a relationship. And I think
maybe it's not indicative of the rest of their week, because maybe they're only seeing each other on Tuesdays. What's going on Tuesdays?
Right.
What's happened to this person?
Like, and that's what I wonder. And I know his schedule's changing, but is there any option to see him or talk? Like, I don't know how much you're talking in between, you know, again, like, because I think we're all struggling. And I know that, for instance, because we're all struggling, our threshold for someone else's struggle is lower. Like, I can't help you in this because I'm on struggle street, honey. I'm doing my best to keep my head up in the pandemic. And now you're like freaking out. And so
I think. And then you're giving me things that I'm like, should I be struggling about that too? Why am I not worried about this?
Exactly. So I think that is the thing, because, you know, I don't want to discount her saying he's such a good human. I haven't liked somebody like this in a while, you know, because, as you said, Andrew, it is hard to meet people out in these streets. So it's like,
especially now.
Period.
For the folks starting the serious relationships, you know what? I'm like, you have not seen how they treat a waiter. You have not seen their bathing suit. You have not seen, like, there's so much that you have not seen. You don't know how they behave in a movie theater. Maybe they throw shit. Maybe they throw shit at the screen. These are strangers you're meeting in a pandemic. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just saying give yourself a break. Yeah. It's going to take a little while.
Yeah.
Complaining. Stressed, anxious. Now that's a CSA I don't want to join.
So glad you're here.
It was the lean. It was the lean and the look for me.
I made some chimichurri sauce out of carrot top greens from a CSA box today.
Wow!
I felt very proud
the
of myself.
The carrot tops you used to make a chimichurri. Can we just put any green in a chimichurri then?
I think as long as it's like bitter,
it's
it kind of works.
I have no idea. Huh.
A little bit of bitter, like a parsley or a cilantro kind of works.
Sage? Okay.
Yeah, carrot tops.
Be as bitter as someone
carrot top
working in
great.
Hollywood for 10 years.
I think we're getting off of PJ's issue. Andy, what do you think? Because I'm a real sad sack and a pain in the ass, and Quar especially.
Yeah, but I fell in love with you way before I knew that you were sad.
I got him. You got to hook him. You got to hook him on a good day.
No, I don't know. I mean, if you, it's tough. Like, I hear what Tawny is saying, too, about, like, removing the judgment from yourself. But also, like, have empathy, especially, like, in these times. Yeah. You also have to have empathy for someone who is, especially if you really do like them. I don't know. If you like them enough to weather it, I would say, I mean, that's really what it is, right? Do you like them enough to weather it and feel empathy for them and try to help them through this, or not help them, or just like be with them while they figure their shit out?
Be there.
Like, you know, if Naomi is feeling depressed, and it's, you know, I don't mean feeling depressed, but if like a cloud of depression has overtaken her, right?
Yeah, like in the depression commercials, like in the commercials for the drugs, you know, it's always like, it's a cloud everywhere you go.
Those commercials make me depressed. Those commercials make me feel bad, and I'm like, I don't think this is good.
That's how they get you.
Right, and then I'm like, I need those pills.
That's
right
how
now.
The Wellbutrin freaks get you with their commercials.
Well, so one thing I will say is that pandemic does create a little cognitive dissonance about how you really feel. Because there is, like, sort of like it or not, conscious or not, like, you did more or less risk, if not, you know, on some maybe minuscule percentage, you risked your life by seeing this person, and which in a significantly higher way than under normal circumstances. And thus, like, whether you process that or not, you still, like, have the cognitive dissonance of, like, well, I must really like this person, because why else would I risk my life? You know, and the answer is, like, you were horny or you're interested or who cares. But the thing that sinks, that's like, you know, subconscious somewhere is like, I also did this irresponsible potentially thing or whatever. And that's I think the thing that for me, you know, the was like hard. It was like, I think I really like this person, but it's like, do I? I don't know. I probably won't be able to process that until this shit is done. Because, like, and how could you know in real time? So there is an argument that I would throw out, which is, like, kind of like the pandemic mulligan. Like, I know we all, like, it's just, like, once we're all out of this universal stress, you reevaluate what this relationship is. Because it's, like, you're just so far out of,
every
like,
day.
And see how they order their food, I'm telling you. See how they treat that waiter.
That is so true. I think another thing I would try, if there's a way, again, I don't know how stressed he is or, like, kind of how it's manifesting, but... You know, if you are only getting a couple hours or one day a week when you see each other in person, is there a way to gently say, like, I want us to spend this afternoon or this evening as a, like, pandemic-free zone. Let's just spend 2 or 3 hours and just pretend like we're not in a pandemic. Like, maybe you guys order food or you watch it, but just something where you're like, we're not allowed to complain about the situation we're in that we can't change.
Yeah, maybe go to a mall maskless.
Shut up. You know what I
Andy,
mean, though.
You fool.
Something
I know what
like
you mean, Naomi.
That, and, like, try, like, see how that goes. Because I don't know if you have. And, like, again, if he can't do that, if he can't manage that for, like, 90 minutes, then that might tell you a little more about this person.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That's what
where
I'm
it's
saying.
Because
it's like, if you, he doesn't have to be doing well. But he has to be doing bad in a way that you can see handling for a long time.
Exactly.
Can you handle the kind of bad he's doing? Then great.
Right.
Everybody needs somebody.
Right.
Yeah, if there's no positive, like, that's the thing. I said have empathy, but if there's absolutely no positives, that's troublesome.
Right. That's troublesome. Hot take. We're going to take a quick break and then come back with Tawny and Andrew to help you handle your scandal.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Hey y'all, wanted to pop in real quick and let you know that if you like what you hear and you want to support the show, there are a couple different ways.
Most of our support comes from our wonderful Patreon community. For $5 a month, you get 2 bonus episodes of just us, mostly spilling the tea, and occasionally searching for crazy bread in Los Angeles, plus lots of other bonus content. We love our Page Pals, and we couldn't do this without you. And if you want to join, go to patreon.com/couplestherapypod.
We also have merch, which includes Gotta Miss a Bitch and Jubu t-shirts, yeah, which you can find in the link tree in our Twitter or Insta bios.
And for absolutely $0, you can rate and review the show on Apple.
5 stars, please. It'll only take 10 seconds, and it helps us tremendously. Okay, that's it. We love you deeply. Now back to the show. And we back with Tawny and Andrew. Woohoo! And it's just so wild to have 2 Andrews on one podcast.
Well, I'd go by Andy.
I know, but I also think of you as Andrew. When I go, Andrew, come in here. You know, like, come in here.
It is unnerving.
Your bagel's getting soggy. Come in here.
Naomi, have you spent time with many other Naomis in a professional or social capacity?
No, I have not.
There are no other Naomis.
And thank you so much. And I miss it. You know, I love a good, you know, every now and then I'll meet a Japanese Naomi because it's like a common Japanese name. But that was like more in New York. I have not come into a contact in LA.
Sure. I think I only know one and I don't even really know her that well. How well can you know a Naomi other than you? You know what I mean?
Well, honey, we've all got walls
up.
We've all got walls up. Except for me. I don't have enough walls up. That's my problem.
Yeah, Naomi, you are New Orleans during
after storm. Katrina, honey. It's all kind of disaster.
We file that under jokes you can make 6 years later and only then.
Yeah. I would say not. It's exactly the right amount of time has gone
15
by.
Perfect.
Yeah. All right. So I saved a couple of political questions specifically for you two.
Oh, why? I don't want that shit. I don't know anything about politics.
Who else is going to answer them?
I don't know. Get John Lovett on here.
I mean,
get one of those crooked people.
What about John Lovett's?
This actually.
That's fun.
This actually is. Unfortunately, probably the big reveal of what the fuck Andy and I get up to on these dog walks.
What, you talk politics?
Some of this shit. Probably
have
too much.
Have a great time. Yeah. Naomi and I will stay in our wig talk that we're engaged in on Marco Polo, and that is all we will talk about.
Honey, literally, he's like, Andrew's coming, we're going for a walk. I go, bless. My response is always, bless.
Andrew,
he needs to get it out.
This is what happens.
I don't want to hear it.
This is what happens. Andrew says something like, we should boil white supremacists until their flesh falls off their bones. And I go, yeah, but, and then 10 minutes later, I'm
not
like, yeah,
efficient.
I guess so.
Yeah.
What a joy. These poor dogs.
So
if dogs could speak English.
The dogs have by far the
out
because it's
out by them.
It's a lot of me going like, well, and then like,
all right, let's go. Let's hear this
anyway.
Question.
So get ready, listeners.
God, he's
you're
so
about
mad.
To enjoy. This is for dogs' ears only.
Hey, Andy and Naomi, I have a question or an issue that I could use your help with, and I definitely know that you guys are the right people to help me out. So my husband and I live about an hour and a half from my in-laws and his extended family. So his dad likes to come up and visit us every so often. We have like a guys weekend and we usually have a great time. But his dad is a Trump supporter, so politics inevitably comes up and things can get pretty tense. His dad and I have even gotten into a shouting match before, because of politics. So we have a great time, but things can be awkward at times. But this time, it's not his dad that's the problem. It's his uncle. His dad wants to come up in a few weeks to visit us and wants to bring my husband's uncle along, too. And he is 20 times worse than my father-in-law. You know, no mask wearing, thinks coronavirus is a hoax, QAnon believing, 24/7 Fox News watching shitbag. So needless to say, I don't want him visiting us. For the sake of my own sanity and just feeling comfortable in my own home, I really don't want to bring that negative energy into our space. I also have some health issues, and the fact that he hasn't been wearing a mask this whole time really doesn't help make me feel any more comfortable. The problem is that my husband doesn't want to have that conversation with his dad and blames me for even putting him in the position in the first place. So
what?
He's afraid that it's going to cause drama between him and his dad and issues with his extended family as well. So it's just a conversation he'd rather not have. And I should also mention that this uncle is also my husband's godfather. So that adds another layer to this.
I don't care.
So my question for you is, am I being selfish for asking my husband to tell his dad that we don't want his uncle here? Should I just suck it up and deal with it for the 24-hour visit? I should mention, too, that my husband doesn't really want his uncle here either. He just doesn't want to have the conversation and would rather just keep the peace. So I would really appreciate your perspective on this. Am I in the wrong? Am I being selfish for not wanting his uncle here? Should we just suck it up because it's family? Or are we right to set boundaries and tell his uncle we don't want him here? And also any tips you have on how my husband can have that conversation with his dad. Thank you, guys. I love you so much. Love the pod. Keep doing what you're doing. Thank you, guys.
Oh, first of all, I love you too. Deeply. Secondly, first of all, and this is what I be saying too, okay? What he needs to do, that husband can go sit with his daddy and his uncle. And his, cause like, don't have him come to us. Like, there'll be times I'm always like, Andy, I don't need to be there if you're with your family necessarily. Or I spend a lot of time with my mother without Andy.
Very true.
Even though Lord knows I like Andy as a buffer. But it's like, you got to deal with your family yourself sometimes. Just because somebody, you're married to somebody, doesn't mean they have to be there all the time. He want to be with, he, uncle want to hang out. You, husband, you go to uncle and daddy. Also, if you don't want to have the conversation.
Damn.
But then the non-mask thing, no, because then husband is bringing that back into my home. Here's what I'm going to say. This is slightly opposite, is that you are married, which means that they are your family. There is no my husband's family. This is my opinion. And the reason I say this is because you are married. They are your family. That means you need to handle them just as much as they do. It's not on. If my husband's in-laws were doing something wild and for some reason he didn't want. I have a phone. You call them. You tell the uncle. You tell the dad. I don't want your no mask wearing QAnon bullshit ass in my house. And then you handle your husband separately later privately. But you can call those people.
Really?
That's why you got married.
No, married, Tony, I didn't marry somebody to marry their husband. I mean, to marry their father.
The only good thing about marriage,
uncle?
I'll go on record and say the only good thing about marriage is that all of these people, I can tell to fucking cut it out if I need to. We are all now one thing. My husband can call my dad and tell him to calm the fuck down, and he has done it before, because maybe I don't want to, or maybe I need it taken off my plate. That's what it's for. That's the only reason we still do it.
And your family responds to your husband.
Yes,
meaning if he says that, they'll be like, okay.
Yes, because we have established that we are a unit, that we go together, that we, and you know, if literally, like, I was panicking about some bullshit one time, it's a long story, it doesn't matter, but I didn't want to call my dad and ask him to stop bringing it up because it was causing me stress and blah, blah, blah. And my husband just did it for me. He called him up. He said, hey, this is causing your stress. Don't do it anymore. I didn't even know it was happening. And the problem was just solved without me having to deal with it.
Right.
So
it depends on your family, I guess, because that sounds very enlightened. Andy has talked to my mother, and she just ignores him.
I have tried before. Earlier, like what, like maybe 5-6 years ago, I tried that, and
but
she
let me
just
ask,
blew me off.
Does she? Yeah. And this is not to put you guys on blast, but do you guys present as a unit, as like a what Andy says is what Naomi says type of a thing?
Pretty sure.
I think so. I mean, I don't. Like, I definitely don't undermine him. Like, we don't undermine each other around our parents. Like, we're with our parents, especially. It's like I got his back, he's got mine, because we're both triggered. We're definitely like having that. But you know, I think, for instance, I know for a fact, and I've talked about this a lot on the pod. Like, I think my mother personally has a hard time seeing me as an autonomous adult. I think she has a very hard time. And so, for instance, I think when something like Andy asserting himself, like he's like, I'm her, for my mother, she's like, I'm her mother. That's always going to be more than husband, boyfriend, whoever, ever. Like, that's how she feels. She's literally like, I can tell you what to do. I run this show. And so that kind of thing doesn't work. Because it's funny, because like Andy told me, like, I remember he had, like, reached out to her, but then he told me way later, like, where he was like, he's like, you know, I tried to talk to her a couple weeks ago and she ignored me. And like, that's how I found out he even tried, right? Because he's kind of doing what you said, you know, your husband said, which is like trying to take it off your plate, you know, and hopefully fix it. And so I think that's the thing. I'm giving the advice to somebody who doesn't have that kind of respect, doesn't get that kind of respect.
I will also say that I maybe am a different type of a person who went through a very painful moment in my 20s where I forced my parents to give me that kind of autonomy and respect. And we have a great relationship. But so I think then that extended to my partner, because there's no planet where my dad and uncle would be doing something wild that my husband disagrees with. And we'd just be like, oh, I guess I won't bring it up. That just does not exist for me. So caller, I empathize with you, but, I think you gotta crack some skulls a little bit. Like, this is serious. This is safety and your life.
The health stuff is like, you should be able to lean on the health stuff, if nothing else. Like, you know, because honey, you can't reason with the QAnon, but you can certainly say,
not
hey,
at all.
Yeah,
you don't wear masks, and I'm out here trying to live.
Why don't you say that?
Yeah,
he can't come over because their house is an adrenochrome processing plant.
Yes. Pizzagate moved to here, and we gotta handle it, so stay out.
One thing, we were looking for a plug for going back to listen to the show, and I will say the theme of the Yo, Is This Racist episode and this call is like, I think you're barking up the wrong tree with some rationalization. Like, you're not, the boundary should be with the dad. Like, you didn't need to, you know, all this, like, uncle, other stuff. It's like, you know, I think it's fair, and this is super easy for me to say as someone without a partner and with a, you know, marginally contentious relationship with my own family. But, like, I think it's fair to just say, look, is your devotion to, like, racism or white supremacy or, like, this dehumanizing person worth more than your relationship with me, a human being? And, like, make them answer that. Like, you having to, like, coddle these fucking horrible racists is, like, and that's the dad without even getting to the uncle. It's, like, no. Like, yes, family. But, like, family is also, like, needs to be treated the way they treat you and treat people. And if they are incapable of being a decent human being in a short window around, like, why do you have to walk on eggshells but the Trump supporter gets to say whatever the fuck they want?
Yeah.
Like,
you're right.
That's not an equitable relationship. So then you're not talking about an equitable relationship.
Do we also think that...
So you don't need to value it.
Do we also think that the caller is actually having... The caller said, I have a good time with these people, with the dad. But then they also said, we've broken out in screaming matches before. I don't think that a hang where at any moment you could break out into a screaming match over, say, like, you know, Social Security benefits or whatever the fuck you're yelling about. I don't think that's a good time. I think we've conditioned ourselves to accept a lot, especially from family and from in-laws, and dismiss it when you really do not have to. Let this pandemic be a lesson to you. You can stay in your house and not see a fucking person.
That's very true.
Value yourself.
No, you're right. I think that's right. You're very good to give this question to Tawny and Andrew, because they're right. They're being direct. Because I think you and I both come from these relationships. Like, for instance, we have a good time, and I can say with your family, y'all don't talk about real stuff. So it's all good if
there's
you
no
don't.
Real talk.
There's no real. So like, if you stay on the surface, then sure, it was pleasant. But I know for me, pleasant, I find it very tiring to have to stay on the surface. Like, I can't do it for more than 30 minutes.
Pleasant, but not like enjoyable.
Right, because you can't really relax. You can't be yourself.
What Naomi and I do is we just limit our time. We love our family, but we just limit the amount of time that we expose ourselves to them.
Well, and then I also prepare talking points as well.
Naomi comes
bullet points
index cards
that you give out to them, or just
just like I run through them with Andrew beforehand. I'm like, or like in my head, I just like know what I'm going to bring up, because I'm like, okay, I don't want to touch that. I don't want to touch this. I don't want to sit in silence, because there have been times where he was like, Naomi, I don't want you to try so hard to
direct the conversation with
parents. His parents specifically. So I was like, okay, I'm a hang back. Well, if my dynamic ass don't say nothing, Tawny, Nothing is happening at this table. And I just had to sit here. I'm like, I want to sit at a table in a restaurant in silence. I could be in my house eating this food in my underwear. Much more comfortable. So if I've come out to engage with you and we ain't talking, this is a waste of my time.
No. To me, it's let's have this very pleasant interaction
where no one says anything,
where no one calls me weird, no one one says anything about who I am as a person, and just get away. Like, to me, it's like an Ocean's 11 it's an Ocean's 11 type situation where you just want to get in,
get in, get the diamond.
Yes, the diamond, the pleasant interaction is the diamond, and then
who
get
is
out.
Julia Roberts playing Julia Roberts.
Naomi is obviously Julia Roberts.
Thank you so much.
Playing.
So you think my dinner with Andre was Ocean's 6?
What happened in my dinner with Andre?
Wallace Shawn is obviously the Matt Damon. Was he?
I'm lost now.
I guess I was saying for Andy, just a boring ass dinner movie.
It's exciting.
To me,
and it's a win because no one's upset, no one's fighting, and I get that.
Yes. Look, if I want to have a contentious conversation about a topic, about like, what did you think of the new Godard film? I'll have that with a friend. I don't know, Naomi. I just couldn't think of my.
I made a face, listener. Yes. I was very confused. I was like, contentious.
Whatever like an artistic, I will have that with a friend. I don't want to bring up, when I'm with my parents, I don't want to bring up topics that will open myself up to be wounded by their comments.
I get that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So what we do is we try to limit the number of interactions and we try to limit the time of that interaction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For the caller, I will throw this out there, which is like, regardless of whether it's you or your husband doing it, like, I think it's like fair to, I mean, maybe this is like creates, is the conversation the husband doesn't want to have, but it's like, set the fucking boundaries. Like, you just have to like set the fucking boundaries with your parents if they are going to be coming over to your house. Like, you just have to be like, hey, look, if you can't respect the basic humanity of people in this way, at least in the time you're with me, then this is on you. Then you can't come over. We can't have a relationship if you can't respect this list of very normal things.
I think I'm just like, I want you to confront yourself because I think there's more power in that. I think if your husband is relaying a message that he doesn't want to really relay, not going to be as direct. There's power in you picking up the phone and calling your husband's family. I'm using air quotes because I'm like, they're your people. I'm so sorry. You are legally bound to these people until you decide you're not anymore. There's power in just calling them up and being like, hi, I know we don't talk a whole lot, but this is serious. They're going to pay attention to that, if only because it's weird. They're going to be like, you never call me. What is this?
Right.
And they're not going to want to deal with it. That's the other thing, is if you make clear that you are going to be more obnoxious about the issue if they don't pay attention to it.
People don't want
to be uncomfortable. So they're not going to show up at your house and be wild just for the sake of their own comfort.
I mean, they will either shut up or reveal themselves to be who they truly are. And either way, you either don't have to deal with them or you can deal with them on at least, you know, terms that
has
you can
the handle. QAnon guy not already revealed who he is?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, but that's why it's like the fact that the caller is like, oh, can I maybe set a boundary with a QAnon person? It's like, what the fuck is happening? No, like the goalposts have been moved so far in this conversation that you're not even close to on like a healthy relationship with the family and possibly with your husband.
And take all that time that you did have to spend with them and write a screenplay about it. So at least you get to monetize all your trauma. your trauma, sir.
Yeah, become a Hollywood cannibal, just like the rest of us.
Please, at least look, if we're going to cannibalize something, please let it be the bigots and the QAnons, please.
Yes.
That's what they're scared of.
Okay, one last quick cue. All
right. Okay.
Hi, Andy and Naomi and special guests. I had a question about moving in with my boyfriend during these quarantine times. We currently live apart, but we're thinking about moving in together. And I definitely want to know, what are some questions that we should be talking about that we might not know
could be potential roadblocks? Like, what's it been like living in quarantine right now? How are you negotiating boundaries? Anything that we're not thinking of that we should be talking about? Because we really want to protect our relationship at all costs in these hard times. So thank you so much. I love your pod.
So if that last question, if the first question about relationships was for Andrew, this one is more for Tawny.
Anything. I've been with my partner as long as you two have been together. Do you remember what it's like? What did you ask each other when you decided to move in? I have no memory of it.
Well, I think the big question from my response to this person is, how big of a space are you moving into? And that will determine a lot of what you need to be asking, right? Especially right. Talk about boundaries or whatever.
In the pandemic, specifically.
Specifically, but yeah, but certainly in general. Mm-hmm. But yeah, in the pandemic, definitely, you know, we're talking about like boundaries or whatever. You know, are you both working from home? Is one of you not working? You know, those are the kind of things that will impact the cohabitation, I think, right? Like that's just like, and kind of also... And obviously, like, the basics, again, when you say, like, what aren't we talking about? I'm assuming you like, understand each other's idea of cleanliness, each other's idea of what constitutes a meal. Who is going to do what around the house? But I think in terms of, you know, I think what was something you and I didn't really talk about but came to realize, we both, Andy and I, you and I really like our alone time.
Yes.
And Tawny, for instance, I was going to ask you because, like, you know, your gentleman caller, he's like a mellow, quiet person. He tends to do his own thing. You, obviously, at least in recent years, have traveled a lot for work. So you sort of have your own separate time just by default.
Yes.
But I'm assuming there were times when that wasn't the case, like before you were really working a lot.
Well, I was always traveling a lot. I just wasn't making any money at it. So I was either traveling a lot in like little bands and Second City and stuff, but I was always gone a third of the year at least.
Okay.
So 2020 was a real shift for us. And we were together all the time because he also wasn't working. And so that was the most time we've spent together in 10 years. And so what I will say for the caller, I want you to ask them to make a not just a chart of like their activities for the day, but I need you to have them plot out what room of the house they tend to be in which hour. I'm serious. This is going, because you're going to think like, oh yeah, they work from home, so they're going to be like on their laptop, and I work from home, but I go to appointments. Like, you're going to have a mental picture of what you think your day is going to be like. And then that first week, you're going to be staring at his ass in the kitchen at 11 a.m. being like, it's not lunch, it's not breakfast. What the fuck are you doing in my way? What is this? So I'm telling you, for a full week, both of you chart out the hours that you are in every room in your respective homes, and then match that up to each other and be like, oh shit, we both think we're going to be in the bathroom for 2 hours every morning. That's not going to work. You really need that chart, because I have a lot of space where I live. I live in the country, and still sometimes this man will pop up in a space that I don't think he legally needs to be in.
Legally,
I think I have a claim that he does not need to be in the area where I put on makeup. He does not need to be standing right there at that hour.
Tawny, how many bathrooms do you guys have?
Two.
Oh, that's the dream.
That's the dream. I think.
But one of them, these fucking terrorists that built this house put a pedestal sink. So there's no space to put anything on that sink. So that's basically an unusable bathroom if you're me.
Oh, yeah. You can't store. You can't store.
ISIS built this house.
Or the CIA.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Andrew, you've lived with lovers.
Damn.
Andrew T.
I have. So what the one question I guess I have that maybe is not that relevant is how old or are your voicemails like stored? Is this one from like a while ago, or is it from now? And the reason being, I just wait it out at this point. Don't move in during pandemic. Like you know, the end is, if not soon, it's in sight. Like, it's like sort of measurable, and like, absolutely, you do not need this additional stress. I would just say, like, you know, like, I just, you know, because I'm like, what, why now? Why, like, all the extra pandemic shit? It's like, because everything Tawny described is not pandemic specific, and it's already like shit that you should do. So, like, you don't need to worry, add on top of that, like, oh, we had a different idea of what a social distance hang is, or like, you know, like, you know, I did not quite realize how big your social circle actually is. Like, and maybe even you didn't realize it, but like I just started like chatting with a woman online who was like, you know, I'm really buttoned up. I haven't seen a soul. And then like very recently I was like, I feel like you see a lot of people like in a way and not in a bad way. Like, cause I was actually more like at first when she was talking, I was like, ooh, this like feels like you're so much more buttoned up than I am. That this is that's going to be difficult. And it was like, oh no, your reality is about the same as mine. Like your risk tolerance is actually about the same as mine. However, you describe it in a way that is, in my opinion, not accurate. And I think people have been doing a lot of that rationalization, right? Like none of us are fucking like scientists. Unless you're a scientist, shout out
to the scientists. Scientists,
we believe in science.
It's just like, to me, I'm like, you know, we're probably not going to do another year of this. So unless there's an absolutely compelling reason to move in with someone now or soon, just wait it out. Like there's no like compelling COVID reason. Of course, there can be compelling reasons, but like, just dodge that extra stress.
Love,
it's going to be stressful enough.
Love,
as it is.
Andrew. Love. They're in love. The callers to this show—that's the difference from our show, Andrew. Those people—they're embroiled in hate. They're surrounded by hate and microaggressions. These people are—it's love they're calling about.
You can still be in love with two apartments. Look, unless you can't, I get it. Sometimes you can't, and it's possible. But I'm just saying, like, unless there's an absolute gotta do it reason. I would just say way up.
I agree with Andrew on this. If there isn't a compelling heart reason, romantic reason.
Oh, I thought you were practical reason. For me, I need a practical,
like, financial.
This is much cheaper. We live 2 hours apart. We want to see where this goes. Like, that to me is real reason, not just like, I love him. It's like, well. Mm-hmm.
But just because that we, like, do see this life going, there's no such thing as going back to normal. We do see us as able to enter public spaces again sometime this year. We see that in our ahead of us. So, just because the, like, moving in is, I don't know. I'm saying this like it's a serious thing, but some people don't take it seriously. Some people are just like, whatever, let's just figure it out. So,
you mean moving in together, period.
Yeah. Or just like,
yeah, just don't throw out too much of your stuff. move in, but keep two of everything so that you can amicably split and not empty your bank account.
Especially two bathrooms.
God,
there should be, I think, really apartments. Bathrooms. Depending on how many people live there, the number of bathrooms should change. The apartments should be modular.
So one bathroom per person.
So if one person lives there, it's just one bathroom. But if two people live there, the landlord has to, by law, legally, add a second bathroom.
Yeah. I'm with that. It is, you know how the one time in my life I had two cats, you know how I was like mortified that they were going to share a litter box without realizing that's basically what humans do?
I mean, when you've sat on the toilet of someone's butt warmth, you know what I mean? When you've just sat on someone else's butt warmth,
it shouldn't only be the very wealthy who don't have
to
do
that.
We have
to democratize defecation. Democratize defecation. Ew. Who's with me?
Ew. Like right now, this man is right next. He knows I'm recording a podcast. I'm looking out the window. He's driven his little the little mover we use to move firewood up. I live in the country, as I said, and he's standing right outside the window looking in here waiting for me to be done. I'm still talking. Why is he here?
He's just looking at you.
Is he lurking? Is he standing at the window with
his hands
on the glass?
Yeah, because he doesn't want to come in because he knows I'm recording and it'll be loud, but he like wants something from me. And I'm like, I'm still working. So now he's walking away. But that is something you need to figure out before you move in with people. Like, where are they going to be at every minute?
Are they gonna be at every minute?
Yeah, you should track
each
other.
You can't get surprised. Yes, get a tracker.
They should have that. You should just those that little like that tile thing that is like supposed to be for your keys. You know, that like little Bluetooth thing that you put on your keychain.
Yeah.
You can find it, but just to have everyone should just have that I guess, implanted into their bloodstream by Bill Gates. And then...
Well, then you're halfway there, yeah. Andrew.
Hey, whose uncle are you?
Whose uncle are you, indeed? We're all somebody's uncle. Thank you. This has been a great episode. Do I end the podcast? I don't remember. Who ends it?
Anyone. By law, for couples therapy, anyone can end the episode at any time. I don't know if you guys knew that.
It's very egalitarian of you.
But yeah, I do think we have to, because Toddy's husband's been outside of the freezing cold for 9 hours. And we've got to get him in there.
He's holding a little trap. He's putting a little live, like a humane trap that we use to catch little mice. He's holding it up, showing me that there's no mice in it. I'm grateful for the information, but I wish it was later. Track your husband, everyone.
It does. This does feel like your husband is like a stray dog that you're like, I'm gonna have to let him inside.
We have so many other places he could be.
I guess he's mine now.
He's like a slender Nick Offerman. He's just like literally so like, he's got a trap. He's hauling wood. He built us a roof. Like, it's always like, what?
Yeah.
Where did you find this person who's a musician and delicate but also very capable?
He grew up on a Christian commune in Ohio. So everyone out there who's single, if you're looking for the right type of a man, look for someone who grew up in a religious commune and then left it abruptly.
Abruptly. But left with skills. You need to leave with
get the skills, leave the dogma. Mm-hmm. That's what you need.
Yeah. Take the skills. Godfather Part 3.
Take the skills, leave the dogma. Okay, Tawny, Andrew, thank you so much for joining us on this magical journey.
Thanks for having us.
Love you guys. Thank you. It was a treat to be here, and thank you for coming on our show. What a little pod of weird dog owners some of us are.
And we'll see you all next time.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.